So welcome everyone to the webinar today. So it's the Anatomy of Prejudice with Jane Elliott. I am Kevin Bowling, the Executive Director of the Secular Student Alliance. And I think many of you know Jane already, but she's an internationally known anti-racist activist, educator, feminist, and LGBTQ activist. So many of us know her from her Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes exercise that she did in her class. As a response to the assassination of Martin Luther King in 1968. She has gone on to appear on many TV shows, and many have also seen her on the episode of Oprah. And she's also facilitated workshops for a variety of organizations and corporations. I'm pleased to have Jane Elliott with us here this evening for her discussion on the anatomy of prejudice. Jane, I'll have you take it away.
Okay, the anatomy of prejudice is exactly what we do in schools 24/7 in this country. I'm sorry, but if you don't have a prejudiced child in your home, send him to school. And by the end of the first day, he will have become a prejudiced child. He will have been convinced that a white man, a so-called white man, discovered America. He will be convinced that America is everything from the northernmost point of Canada to the southernmost point of South America. That's what America is. He will be convinced that America, all of that belongs to him. People, there are several things we have to start teaching in the schools. Number one, you're not gonna like this, and I understand that. And when you get angry, go ahead and write it, but don't expect me to pay much attention to it, because I suspect that I've heard every complaint you could possibly utter this week. I got taken, raked over the coals because I used the wrong words when I was talking to six transgender people. I'm sorry, but I didn't know how exactly to address them. And it took them a long time to realize that I'm 88 years old and transgender for me wasn't a possibility or even talked about until about, 10 years ago when we started to talk about transgender? Yeah. So I'm supposed to be up on that. I've been too busy fighting racism. Now, I happen to think that racism, all these other isms are based on how we are allowed to treat Black people in the United States of America. And as long as we call them Black people, that's how long we'll be able to treat them badly. Because in the dictionary, Black means savagery and evil, and white means pure and good. So as long as we use those two terms to talk about people, we have created a chasm between people, and it will stay there until we decide that there's a better way to address these problems. Number one, those two words came out of the Spanish Inquisition in the late 1400s. During the Spanish Inquisition, Torquemada was going around the country killing people in Europe, killing people in order to make them into Christians. Now, some of them were already Christians, but he was killing them in order to turn them into Catholics. Now, I'm sure Jesus Christ was just absolutely delighted to know that somebody was going around killing people in his name. People think about that, and that's what they did. The Crusades lasted for 200 years? Plus, 200 plus years killing people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's called good religion. People, it's time for us to get past. I'm serious. But you see, it sounds ridiculous because it is. It is totally ridiculous. A woman has been writing to me for weeks to tell me that all I have to do is pray and Russia will be all right. I'm sorry, but those people who are dying in Ukraine today probably have prayed all about it, but it doesn't seem to be working. You've got to get off your knees and go to work. We've got to begin to teach the three R's to students in schools from K through grade 16. You're thinking, well, do we do that? Reading, writing, and arithmetic? No, people. Reading begins with R, writing begins with W, and arithmetic begins with A. So we talk about the three R's as if they are the three R's. They aren't. Let's start talking the real three R's, which is rights, respect, and responsibility. We've got to start teaching rights, respect, and responsibility to our students in school from the first day they enter a classroom. In kindergarten, those kids, and preschool, those kids have to learn that every child in that room has rights, and every child has to respect the rights of every other child, and they will be held responsible if they do not respect those rights. Now, if I didn't learn anything else from doing the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise in my classroom the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, I learned that we had not been teaching rights, respect, and responsibility. And some of the most brilliant people you have ever known do not know about rights, respect, and responsibility, because if they did, we would be passing different laws in this country, and the words "under God" would never have been put into the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute, if we dare. And I dare because I'm 88 years old, and I've been threatened with death so many times that now when those three little boys with their red caps in the front row, first or second row of a group that I'm talking to on a college campus, are talking about me and pointing at me like this, and I know what's going on, I say, and they've got those caps on that say, "Make America Great Again." Well, it says "Make America Great Again," but it means "Make America Hate Again." I stop what I'm saying. I say, "Look, fellas, I know what you're talking about. You'd like to see me dead because of my efforts to decrease the level of racism in this country. I understand that. I know why you'd like to see me dead. But let me warn you about something. You can shoot me. I won't care. I would be then with my husband and my oldest son. My other three will be happy. They'll get my estate, however much it is. Isn't going to be much if these prices keep going up, but go ahead and shoot me. I won't care. I'll be gone. But you need to wait. You need to know that if you shoot me because of what I do to decrease the level of racism in this country, you might make a martyr out of me, and then you might have to spend the rest of your lives celebrating Jane Elliott Day once a year. Now, do you want to do that? And then they'll go, "No, no, 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 no." They make the sign of the, "No, no, no." I say, "Then listen, shut up while I'm talking. Listen to what I'm saying." And by then, all the black kids in the room have turned around and seen the ones that I'm talking to. And before I finish my remarks, those guys step over the back of their seats, get through the aisle behind them, run down the hall, and get out of the building as fast as they can, because they know that now they have identified themselves as blatantly racist and as somebody is going to get even with. Now, I have no problem with somebody getting even with them, because if they would do that in a packed hall where there are about between 400 and 600 students, and let me know that they wish I was dead, I have no problem with somebody teaching them a lesson. Sometimes, people, we live with the consequences of our behaviors. And that's what I've been doing for the last 54 years. I have been living with the consequences of saying to my third graders in all white, all Christian, Riceville, Iowa, that you don't have to be white to be right. That was extremely difficult for the people in the community to understand until I had done it for several years. And then a whole lot of students began to repeat that Elliot says you don't have to be white to be right. That was a new thought in Riceville, Iowa at that time. It isn't a new thought anymore. It's the thought that kids come out of school now saying those very things. I'm absolutely delighted. They learned something that day, and they passed it on to their peers, and they passed it on to their relatives, and they passed it on to their parents, which tickled me to death. People, it's time for us to start teaching the truth. I believe in CRT, but CRT for me does not stand for critical race theory. We've got to get rid of the word race, because there's only one race. And you need to know that the word race, meaning a distinct group of people, came out of France in 1580. Did you know that? Before 50, no, I suspect that you didn't, and most people don't. Look in the dictionary. In the dictionary, it says the etymology of the word, is that the word I mean? The word race came out of France in 1580. That's less than 500 years that we have been identifying people as being members of different races. People, there's only one race of people on the face of the earth, and that's the human race. Now, I got a letter from an author again today saying, we have to do something about interracial. So I immediately wrote back and said, how many of your friends are married to people who came from outer space? Because if they came from planet Earth, they aren't in an interracial relationship. It's time to get over that idea. Instead of talking about interracial relationships, let's use the word mosaic. A mosaic is an art form that is new and unique and beautiful and made of many different elements. Now that's exactly what children who come from a family in which one parent is one color and another parent is the other color. But now we have to get rid of the words black and white. People, human beings do not come in black and they do not come in white, unless you are suffering from albinism. And even those who are albinos have pink eyes, so that's a color, and I don't think we're gonna call them pink, but they are very, very light skinned. Folks, instead of using black and white, I've decided in the future I'm going to use melanemic, because if you don't have enough iron in your blood to keep you healthy, you're called anemic. If you don't have enough melanin in your skin, which is the chemical that gives your skin its color, If you don't have enough melanin in your skin to protect your cells from the damaging rays of the sun, you must be melanemic. Does that make sense? Everybody nod and say, yes, Mrs. Elliott, because I'm going to keep right on talking whether you agree with me or not. Let's make something perfectly clear here. I don't care whether you agree with me, all right? I just want you to think in different ways. You, sir, are not a white man. I can see your eyes, and the whites of your eyes, I can tell where the white of your eyes stops and your skin color begins. You are not a white man. It's time to get over that. Those who have a fair amount of melanin should be called melanaceous, which rhymes with gracious and efficacious. So you see, if you have just the right amount of melanin, you're melanaceous. So you are shades of brown. You, sir, are melanaceous. If you have a lot of melanin in your skin, you're melanotic, which rhymes with exotic. You have enough melanin so that you're almost black, but not black. And every time a person of color says to me, I'm black, I say, fine, I can see where your hair stops and it's black, but I can see where your skin begins and it ain't. It's time to stop calling people black and white and find another term, and melanaceous, melanemic, and melanotic work for me. It's hard to remember them, but it's better to use something factual than something that is based on a lie that was started in the late 1400s and the early 1500s. Now, those of you who absolutely insist on continuing to use the vocabulary of the 14th and 15th century, then also must insist that you will no longer use the modern technology such as television and electricity and computers. And automobiles. We'll give all those things up that we didn't have in the 14th and 15th century to preserve the lie that started in the late 1400s. How many of you think that would be a really stupid thing to do? You know it would, and I know it would, but you refuse to give up those terms because you're used to them. People, it's time to get over it. You have to realize that there are three things you have to remember if you're going to live in this, on the face of the earth in the future. You have to remember three things. Particularly in the United States, where we have all these isms. We have racism and sexism and ageism and, oh my Lord, you can go down the list, time and all kinds of isms, people. There are three that you could do away with just by remembering this. If it weren't for blacks, there would be no whites. White people are simply black people who faded. If you haven't seen the National Geographic magazine for April of 2018, I suggest that you get a copy of this, April of 2018, and look at this map. This map shows where civilization, where everybody began, and those people were very dark skinned because they were exposed to a lot of sunlight, so their bodies produced a lot of melanin. But those brilliant people left that area, the area below the equator, and managed in two waves to settle, to populate, every landmass on the face of the earth. Every landmass on the face of the earth was originally populated by people from Africa. And as they got farther and farther from the equator, their bodies produced less and less melanin. So their skin, their hair, and their eyes got lighter. That's the only reason that people in these areas of the earth are lighter skinned. People, if you think I'm lying about that, go on, Google it and ask Google, what percentage of the population of the earth is named white? 15 to 18% of the population of the earth is classified as white. Did you realize that? Did you realize that white people have always been in the minority, the numerical minority? And they will always be in the numerical minority. And if we are becoming a smaller and smaller portion of the population of the earth because of the damage that the sun is doing to our skin. More and more people are dying of melanoma, which is a cancer that you get from overexposure to the sun. You melanemic people need to realize that your days are numbered. Now I can see your teeth and they are really white. Congratulations. I don't know what you're doing, but it's working. People, you need to realize that the Proud Boys, QAnon, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, the KKK, all those nice melanemic males don't know what in hell they're talking about, if you don't mind my saying so. We cannot guarantee that Jews will not replace us. They are marching down the street saying Jews will not replace us. Someone needs to remind them that if it weren't for Jews, there would be no Christians and no people who believed in Islam, because both of those are the result of the Jewish Bible, not Bible, but Holy Book. The Old Testament started the New Testament. The New Testament is what we so-called Christians seem to believe in, unless it makes us unhappy. Right now, last month, in February, on Valentine's Day, our president's wife, and I'm really upset about the Torah, the Pentateuch, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it, Gavin Johnson. Last month on Valentine's Day, our president's wife put up a great big heart, a big red heart, on the front lawn of the White House. And on it, it said, "And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." That isn't what it says in the Bible. It says, "And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity." But you see, charity means selfless giving. That means it's going to cost you something to believe in that verse. So we simply changed it to the word love to make it something that doesn't cost us anything. How many of you have heard somebody say, "I just love this," about ice cream, and then tell their husband that they love him? People, we won't make that analogy. Let's use something else. Let's have people, you need to realize that we have misused the word love to the point where it's ridiculous. And you also have to realize that one of the main differences between people of color, between melanated people and melanaceous and melanotic people, between those who consider themselves pale faces and those who aren't, is when we melanemic people come into a new environment, we immediately adjust the environment to fit our needs. When melanaceous people come into the environment, they immediately adjust their needs to fit the environment. And that is a huge difference between people and between groups. In this country, and not in this country, but in the 1600s, a pope, and I have no problem with popes, I was raised with a Catholic mother and a Baptist father. Try that on for size. And the Pope said in the 1600s to a man named Mercator, "Please make a map that will show the spread of Christianity." So we all use the Mercator map. How many of you have seen this map before? See Greenland hanging down here like a great big ripe plum? On the Mercator map, Greenland is bigger than Africa, and it's bigger than South America. Now, according to your social studies teachers, what is the equator? Where is the equator? What? I'm waiting, sir. Halfway between the North Pole and the South Pole, right? So on this map, the equator ought to be right about here, hadn't it? That's halfway between the North Pole and the South Pole, but not on this map. On this map, the equator is clear down here. The equator does not divide the map into two equal portions on the Mercator map. You need to realize that this map is what is used in schools all over the United States of America, except now in Boston, where they are now using the Peters projection map. Are you familiar with the Peters projection map? Well, they finally, because they saw me describe it, I guess, on the Oprah show, they have finally put the Peters projection map in the schools in Boston. That's one step away from racism. People, when you make a map that shows the white countries of what we call white countries of the world, the major portion of the map, it's a lie. And kids get used to absorbing and internalizing the lie. We ought to stop using this map in the school. Now, there's a better way, in my estimation. And since I have the floor, you're going to have to listen to me. This is the Peters projection map. See poor little Greenland up here in this little tiny thing? And look at the size of these two continents. Look at this. To me, this is absolutely amazing. Look at the size of Canada here, and then think of it as it is on this map. On this map, Canada stretches from hell to breakfast. Look at the size of Canada. This is not a good portrayal of Canada, people. Isn't how you think this is funny? I'm serious about this. Stop this laughing. This is not funny. The reason it isn't funny is a lot of people believe that this is the way the earth looks. This is a flat picture of the continents of the earth. Look, it isn't. This isn't perfect, but it's so much better than the other one. Look at the size of Australia here. And then look at it on the, oh Lord, look at it here. This makes no sense, people. This whole thing makes no sense. This is much bigger than it is, than it shows on the Mercator projection map, because this is the actual size of it. Look at the size of Canada here. Doesn't go on forever, people. It's like racism. It doesn't have to go on forever. We could teach the truth with our maps. We could teach the truth with our history. We could teach that between 20,000 and 10,000 years before Christopher Columbus was gleaming his father's eye, people from Africa landed on the North American continent. You need to realize that. You need to realize that the people that we call Indians, because Christopher Columbus was lost, and he thought he was on his way to, he was going to reach India by sailing, he was going to sail west to get east. Is that what he was doing? Well, so the people who are here must be Indians. They weren't Indians then, and they aren't Indians now. And they did not come up out of a hole in the ground. They came from Africa, just like the rest of us did. Now, those of you who are thinking, well, my ancestors were from Africa, get your DNA done. Have your DNA traced back as far as you can trace it. And don't just stop when it gets to Ireland. Trace it back as far as you can trace it. And you will find that in your DNA, a certain percentage of your DNA will have come from a country in Africa, because there's only one race of people on the face of the earth, and it's the human race, and you all belong to it. Every one of you is Homo sapien with a little bit of Neanderthal. Now, Neanderthals were inclined to abdominal fat, had short attention spans, and orange hair. Now, does that sound like anyone you've seen lately? Yes, and you know who I'm referring to. The man is obviously Neanderthal. That's not his fault. Some of my best friends are Neanderthal. And you need, and a drop of Denisovan, is that right? That's a good word. I'll go look that one up. Just a minute, just quick as I finish here. People, if you think I'm lying about this, get the book, The Myth of Race, by Robert Wald Sussman. Have you read it? And if you haven't read it, get it and read it. And read it this week. Don't wait for, don't wait till somebody says to you, did you read that book? Start before they get the opportunity to have you have to say, well, no, but I'm going to. Somebody's read it. Leslie Deegan's read it. Good for you. Great book, isn't it? I'll tell you another great book. But so angry. I don't think it's angry. I think it's wonderful. I think only those who really want to believe in the myth of our ridiculous so-called history are going to argue with the fact that we are all Homo sapiens. And some of those guys who are marching out in the street saying Jews will not replace us, people, they don't like the word homo. They forget about sapien. Yeah, they hear homo and they think homosexual. People, even that's not such a bad thing if that's what you are. Get over it. Words are the most powerful weapon devised by humankind. We use words to destroy people all day, every day. It's time for us to think before we speak and to look up the words we're saying before we say them. The first thing you have to remember is there would be no Christians, no Muslims without Jews. So get over your anti-Semitism. You would not be a Christian or a Muslim if it weren't for Jews. Then another thing you have to remember is there would be no whites without blacks. Every one of you can trace your DNA back to a country in Africa. Number three, there would be no men without women. You need to realize that the first modern human being who evolved was probably female, and she probably reproduced asexually until, as a result of a mutation of the genes, the first male was born. Now, that's okay with me. Some of my best friends are mutants. Don't worry about that. But you need to realize that without females, there would be no males, which is the reason you add the chemical symbol for iron to the word that means man, and you get female. Now think about that, women. The next time somebody wants to call you a name, now there are several names they're going to call you. If they call you female, you need to say, that's what I am, because whoever started this whole thing, whoever started our language, added the chemical symbol for iron to the word for male and got a female, got a woman, and that's what we are, and that's the reason we outlive you. And we will. You know that, and I know that. And I don't like that. I've outlived one of my sons and my husband so far. I want something done about this situation so that men, who are obviously, in many cases, the weaker sex, will live longer. It's time for women to take the responsibility bear, not just bear the children, but bear the responsibility and bear the major share of it, or at least an equal share of it. Men die young, and I resent that greatly. Something has to be done about it. When we finally decide, like next week, when they decide that a Black woman can be a good judge on the Supreme Court, when we finally make the decision and get to the realization that women are strong, women have skills, talents, and abilities, and the strongest and most skillful and most talented and most able, in many cases, are women of color. Melanotic and melanaceous women are some of the most brilliant people I have ever known. And for you to ask me to speak to this group is pretty ridiculous, unless you've had a whole lot of melanaceous and melanotic women speak to you before me, because every one of them has forgotten more since breakfast than I will ever learn about racism. You know that, and I know that. And they aren't allowed to stand up and tell the truth because it would endanger, their lives would be in danger, because we have tried to teach one another that they don't know anything. And we have tried to teach them that they don't know anything. And it has to be stopped, people. It has to be stopped now. Your very lives depend on the intelligence and the capability of people who don't look like me. No woman of color is ever going to have this many lines on her face, because Black don't crack. And you need to realize that. They will never look my age. And they will. We have done such abominable things where people of color are concerned, that we are going to have to start all over, because people, you need to realize. And these things I'm saying to you, I learned as a result of watching little 9-year-old melanin children be treated for a day the way we treat melanaceous and melanotic children in this country for a lifetime. I watched children, a couple of children who were A students, until they were told, because they had the wrong color eyes, they had blue eyes. And everybody knows blue-eyed people aren't as smart as brown-eyed people. Everybody knows that. And I told them that. And they had agreed that they'd like to find out how it felt to be treated unfairly because of the physical characteristic over which they had no control. I didn't spring this on them and then say, we're going to do it. No, we talked about it and talked about it. And I said, do you want to know how that feels? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounded like fun to them, because most of the things we did in my classroom were fun. So I separated them according to the color of their eyes. And I had decided to do this the night before. As I watched Walter Cronkite on the news discussing the killing of Martin Luther King Jr., and he said to three melanotic leaders of the Black community, when our leader was killed, his widow held us together. Who's going to keep your people in line? I was absolutely furious at him saying, our leader, as if JFK was the leader only of white people, and who's going to keep your people in line, as if they were a subset of human beings. I was furious. So I changed the channel. I thought somebody would say something more intelligent. Dan Rather was saying to leaders of the Black community, don't you Negroes think you should feel sympathy for us white people, because we can't feel the anger at this killing that you Negroes can? And at that point, I turned off the television. I wadded up the teepee that I had been ironing and getting ready to put up in my classroom the next day. And I decided that the next day we weren't going to just learn the Sioux Indian prayer that says, oh, great spirit, keep me from ever judging a man until I've walked a mile in his moccasins. I was going to arrange to have it answered for them. I decided that I was going to do what Hitler did. And make no mistake about this. I was born in 1933, the year that Adolf Hitler and Franklin Roosevelt came to power in the United States of America. So from 1933 until 1945, I watched my father just furious at what Adolf Hitler was doing in Germany and then all over Europe. It was absolutely great. Solidarity with you, Jane. Somebody's talking. Now, am I still on? Hello?
You're still on.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, and my father was absolutely furious. I watched that from 1933 until 1945. What is that, 12 years? And then I got to be 84 years old. And I watched a man say the same kinds of things that Adolf Hitler did in his run for the White House. And I thought, my God, this is Hitlerian. This guy talks like Adolf Hitler. And then I thought, well, no, I've been thinking about these things too long. I'm hysterical. So then I read the book, When at Times the Mob is Swayed. If you haven't read the book, When at Times the Mob is Swayed, get it and read it, because he says in about the first chapter, I think in the first chapter, maybe in the second, that Donald Trump has in his bedside table in a locked drawer the book, The New World Order, which is the writings of Adolf Hitler. And I realized that I wasn't imagining things. I wasn't exaggerating what was happening. What was happening was exactly what he learned from what he studied in that book. People, if you think I'm wrong about that, then you need to get this book. Everybody needs to get this book, On Tyranny, by Timothy Snyder. And after you read this book, then you have to get On the Road to Unfreedom, because that is where we are today because of what has been happening in this country in the last 4 years. If you don't read the whole thing, just read pages 26 and 27, and then read chapter 18, Be Calm When the Unthinkable Arrives. People, if you don't want to read the whole thing, just read those two pages. Get this book and read it. It is absolutely essential that you realize what's happening so you are prepared to put a stop to it. Have any of you read this book, please? If you haven't read it, get it and read it. And if you want to find a list of the books, but this one isn't on it, and neither is the last one I told you, but go to my website, jane@janeelliott.com, and download the printed learning materials, jane@janeelliott.com. The first page is Joe Conlon's. Conley says, I was living in Germany. Now finish what you were saying, type it in there, because that's very interesting. And I told people something. Well, you can send it to me later. People, go to my website. The first set of the printed materials is a set of typical statements that white folks make that think they aren't racist. Now, I'm sure you've all heard them, and most of you have said them. So you read them, like this one. Number four, other ethnic groups had to struggle. Why is it so different for the Black? How many of you have heard that one from someone? Everybody's heard it. So then you go to the clarification of that statement. It shows a deep ignorance of the special deprivation suffered by Black people by whites. We have no idea what it is like to be discriminated against on the basis of the color of our skin in the United States of America, because we haven't lived with that. So don't say, well, my people came from Sweden and they had a hard time. Wait a minute. Your people probably came here white, so they came all right. If they had come here from Nigeria, they still wouldn't be all right. You know that, and I know that. Of this one, no matter what I say or do, it doesn't suit you. You are never satisfied. As far as you're concerned, I can't do anything right. Have you ever heard a white person, a melanated person say that? Well, the clarification is, says there's nothing wrong with what the speaker says or does. It's only in the minority group member's perception of what is being said or done. How many of you have heard somebody say, we wouldn't have these problems if it weren't for the Blacks? Yeah, if these Black people would just go away, we wouldn't have any racism. People, that's a racist statement. And it's one of the first things that they said in Riceville, Iowa, when they found out I was doing the exercise. And it isn't an experiment, people. I don't experiment with children without their knowledge or without their permission. It's an exercise, something designed to help them to understand other people and to empathize with them instead of sympathizing with them. I don't want your sympathy. I would like for you to realize how ugly this day is for me today, because the daughters of one of my very best friends called me and told me their mother had died today. If you can empathize with that, I don't need your sympathy, but I need you to realize that the kinds of things that happen to people of color in this country are totally different from the kinds of things that happen to white people in this country. You can have disabilities up the wazoo, but as long as you're white, we'll find a way to help you. In this country, having a different colored skin is considered a disability and will put you in a special ed class. And will expect you to be less able to learn. And will use words that we should not use under any circumstances whatsoever in the classroom. How many of you have had a teacher stand up in front of the group the first day of school and say, I don't care whether you're Black or brown or red or yellow, I'm going to treat you all the same. I don't see color. How many of you have had a teacher say, I don't see color? Oh my God. I did a program for a university in Texas a couple of years ago. And in the middle of my remarks, a woman probably 45, 47 years old, stood up in the middle of this group and said, Mrs. Elliott, I just look for the person's heart. And I thought unpleasant things, but I didn't say unpleasant things. I just said, Madam, if you can see my heart from where you're standing, you should go down to the local hospital and volunteer to be their x-ray machine. You can save them a lot of money. She said, you don't understand. I said, I understand exactly what you're saying. In order for you to look at these students, you have to pretend that all you are seeing in these students is their hearts. You have to bypass the largest organ on their body, which is their skin, in order for you to relate to them. And then I said, have you ever dressed a chicken? She said, what do you mean? She thought I meant, have you ever put clothes on a chicken? No, I meant, have you ever cut up a chicken and gotten it ready to cook and eat? No. Well, I said, if you had, you'd realize that your heart is very colorful. Everybody's is. She said, I don't have to put up with this. I said, that's right, you don't. And she stormed out of the room. All these college students just looked at her. And then they looked at me like, boy, you are a real bitch, aren't you? And I thought, okay, now we have to deal with that. I said, I know you guys are thinking I'm a bitch. I am. For me, bitch is an acronym for being in total control, honey. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, the next time one of you women, some man calls you that word, you say you're out of control, aren't you, darling? But I can take care of that for you. And then you whip out your little Lorena Bobbitt fruit knife. And that will solve the problem. Now, you aren't going to do that. I do that because I'm 88. I'm 88, and I don't care what they think or what they say about me. Do you understand that? I am at the age when all the damage that can be done to me has been done. I've lost my parents, and they both died thinking they had raised something really bad by raising what was called the town's only N-word lover. I lost all my brothers and sisters. They won't have anything to do with me because I'm the family's only N-word lover. And I say to them, and I say to you, call me an N-word lover if you choose, but remember this, I'd far rather be a lover than a hater. Get used to it. My children had a terrible time in school because of the backlash from what I did to try to teach my students to see every human being as an equal human being who has every right that my students, my children have, and that I have. Now I know that I'm talking against the wind because we are quite convinced in this country that only melanemic people have the right to choose, have the right to govern, have the right to tax, have the right to live. And right now, we are seeing melanemic people dying, some hundreds of them, because we have, in fact, supported a regime that had nothing but ugliness in its plan for the countries that used to be part of the USSR. We have a man who has been supported by our former leader to do things that are insane. Don't want to talk about politics, but you need to realize that right now the problem we're having is a result of encouraging a person who didn't know how to be a fully functioning human being. And he was encouraged to be that way by a person who still doesn't know how to be a fully functioning human being and to appreciate people of all kinds. You have to remember that we talk a whole lot about 1619. That's a nice thing to talk about, and I'm glad we are. However, you need to realize that people from Africa came here between 20,000 and 10,000 years before that. They didn't come as slaves. They came as explorers. They came as adventurers. They managed to get to this continent without any modern technology. 20,000 years before Columbus did. Can we please start to appreciate the people who were here first? And can we please start to teach children the facts instead of the fables? The book, The Myth of Race, should have been titled The Lie of Race. But if he had entitled it The Lie of Race, no publisher would have published it and people wouldn't have purchased it. But if you call it a myth, we can get away with it. What we have in this country, in this education system, is not an education. I'm an educator. The word educator comes from the root duck deuce, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or, which means one who does. An educator is one who is engaged in the act of leading people out of ignorance. When you indoctrinate people, you tell them how to behave so that they will be good American citizens. And, God, I've got to quit talking because every time I say something, it reminds me of something else. We've got to quit calling this country America. America is everything from the northernmost point of Canada to the southernmost point of South America. All of the citizens in all of these countries are Americans. This country is the United States of America. The most important word in that title is the word united. And for 4 years, we had somebody who tried to divide us, and he did it. We are now the divided states of America. People, we've got to get over this. We've got to stop calling ourselves Americans. People, America is not just the 48 contiguous states, Alaska, Hawaii, and the islands off the southeastern coast of the United States. America is all of this. We are citizens of the United States of America. We can call this country the U.S. And the U.S., U.S. spells the word us. Does that make sense to you? Would that make perfectly good sense for you to all write to Joe Biden and say, never say at the end of your remarks, God bless you and God bless America. If he's going to bless you and America, at least say, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. And teachers in schools all over the United States have to start calling this country what it is, which is the United States of America. Now, does anybody have any questions they want to ask at this point? Oh, wait, one more thing. CRT, critical race theory. No, CRT for me stands for curriculum respecting truth. Now, if you want to teach CRT and people complain about it, you say, what's the problem? CRT stands for curriculum respecting truth. It isn't about race and it isn't about racial theory. It's about the truth. And if we start telling the truth, we won't have to talk about race other than at the first meeting, say, here's the way it is, people. There's only one race and you're all members of it. Every person who is listening to me, if there's anybody still listening to me on this presentation, is my 30th to 50th cousin. That's the way it is. You are all my 30th to 50th cousins because we all came from the same place. Now, I had this discussion with a friend of my daughter's who was from Japan. And she and I, it didn't get heated because she's too young for me to think she knows as much as I do about a whole lot of things. And I finally said, look, she said, my people were Peking man. That's where they came from. I said, I'm sorry, but your people came from the same people my people did, and they came from Africa. Well, she said, I'm sure you're wrong. I said, go home, get your DNA done, trace it back as far as you can go. I got a letter from her 2 weeks later and said, Miss Elliott, you were right. My ancestors were some of the first Afro-Asian people in my country. Yes! See, that's one out of a million. I'm tickled to death. One is good for me because now she's telling that instead of the other story. She made progress, and so did I. We've got to stop seeing ourselves as different races because of different skin colors. Skin color is your body, the result of your body's adaptation over the centuries to the physical environment. It has nothing to do with being God's chosen children. Get over it and get over it now. We've done this long enough now. Are there any questions? If there are no questions, I'm done, okay?
Jane, I would love, because you did a great job, I think, covering lots of things. I would love to sort of hear your perspective about what currently is happening. And I think for the group of people on, what's a good thing for us to do? What do we need to know? What's the message we need to hear?
Read every one of Frank Schaeffer's books except Mom and God. Read every one of Frank Schaeffer's books. I don't agree with everything he says. But right now, in this country, we are being run by and run badly by evangelical Christians. Now, I don't care what your faith is. That's not my problem. But right now, that faith has become a problem for all of us. If you haven't read Frank Schaeffer's books, get them and read them. His father started the evangelical Christian movement in the UK and taught it to his son. His son taught it to this country. And he says now it has been disrupted, distorted to the point where it is nothing like what his father taught him. He's absolutely right. If we want to get rid of crimes against people on the basis of the color of their skin, we have to quit committing those crimes. And every day you celebrate Columbus Day, you have committed the crime of separating people on the basis of the color of their skin. Let's get over that. Let's stop telling the lie. Let's start telling the truth. Let's stop having a curriculum that respects truth. We can get over the kind of, the things that are happening to people who are of Asiatic descent in the eastern part of the United States right now are absolutely insane and have to be stopped. They have to be stopped now. They have to be, the people who are doing them have to be prosecuted, and they have to be stopped. I remember what it was like during the Second World War when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I remember the day they bombed Pearl Harbor. And I remember the names that we used for the Japanese for 4 years. After the war was over, we rebuilt Germany and we rebuilt Japan. It's time for us to rebuild the people of color in this country that we have been discriminating against for the last 250 years. And we need to do it, and we need to do it now. And don't tell me it can't be done. I remember President Roosevelt said, we're going to go into war. And within 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, we were ready to go to war because he was getting us ready for that before, because he needed to fix the country after the Great Depression. A war will do that for you every time. All you lose are your young men. If you can afford to use young men, let's start a war with Russia. We have to think very carefully about what people are saying right now. Let's go in and bomb those Russians. Wait a minute. They have a bomb that we helped them to get that could destroy all of us. So Mr. Biden, whether or not I agree with his policies, whether I agree with his politics, knows what could happen if he was dumb enough to do what he's being told to do right now by some of us who don't know what we're talking about. Being a warmonger is a real cute trick. If you are the only one that has the biggest bomb.
Eddie asks, he says, do you think people of the human species have a bias not only of race and color, but also ethnicity? So how would you compare xenophobia with racism?
Look, nobody is born a racist. You aren't racist because you're a human being. You're a racist because you have been taught to be a racist. Xenophobia is the result of people keep being taught to have phobia about those who are different from themselves. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. You weren't give somebody, oh God, one of those senators last week asked the woman, remember, who was running, who wants to be on the Supreme Court, what is a woman? He asked her, what is a woman? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, somebody kill him. No, I wasn't thinking somebody kill him. I was thinking, I'd like to put you through the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise, my silly young friend. I have never heard so many melanemic, tall and short males in positions of power ask questions about child pornography. By the time it was over, I was thinking, it's a good thing those guys are behind a desk and that you can't see their lower parts. Because I think those guys were getting a thrill out of those ridiculous questions they were asking that black woman. That was the most idiotic, most unacceptable behavior I have seen on television in years. That was it. Even when Will Smith slapped, what's his name, Chris Rock last week, that wasn't as bad as the slaps that those four Republican males delivered to that brilliant melanotic woman. How dare we do that? And how dare you do that in public, on television, for people of all ages and all kinds to see, when you are members of the Senate and are involved in writing laws for the United States of America? Was anybody as upset about that as I was? And if you weren't, I want to know why you weren't. And this has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with rights, respect, and responsibility. And they violated her, every one of her rights, and they showed her no respect, and they still haven't been held responsible for that. Did I answer your question at all, or am I just rambling on?
You're good. Another question from Ashley, and I think you have had a history of having conversations. And so would you recommend, she says, would you recommend maintaining these critical conversations with people who are stubborn folks? So, with burnout being a major concern these days, is there even a point where you would say someone is a hopeless cause?
No, because there is no hopeless cause. The cause is only hopeless if you give it up. The only thing necessary for the perpetuation of evil is for good people to do nothing. And as long as you do nothing and let it happen, it will continue to happen and it will grow. And that is exactly why we had 4 years of a megalomaniac in the White House. Because people were just tired and that's not the only reason. The main reason is when Barack Obama got elected, I cheered because I thought, now I don't have to do this exercise anymore. I don't have to give these speeches anymore. People are beginning to catch on. It's all right not to be white. Come on, people, things are getting better. And I didn't realize that there was 40% of the population of this country that would go underground and keep their mouths shut except support Mitch McConnell in his refusal to let Barack Obama be successful. I didn't think that they would look at what Barack Obama was doing and use it as wrong because of their ignorance about skin color. Now, make no mistake about this. Skin color isn't the problem. There's nothing wrong with your color of your skin. The problem is the ignorance about skin color that we have taught people in this country for the last 250 years. Skin color isn't the problem. Ignorance is the problem. When Barack Obama when Hillary Clinton lost to, what's his name? Dinosaurus T. Rump, I call him, because he has a face like thinks like a dinosaur and a face like a rump. When she lost to him, I thought, oh my God, what is going to happen now? I couldn't imagine how bad it could get. It never occurred to me that we would take that many steps backward in 4 years, but we did. And now we're going to have to go to work and see to it that the conditioning that is furnished for students in schools is not going to be racist conditioning anymore. We are not going to teach that all the important things that were done, all the inventions, all the investigations, all the adventures were done by white males. We're going to have to start teaching the truth. And if you haven't read the book, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization, get it and read it today. Are you aware, or were you aware, that 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, people in the Nile Valley, the Nile is a river in Egypt, people in the Nile Valley were doing cataract surgery with metal instruments. 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? And if you didn't, why didn't you? And do you think that should be included in our social studies? Well, if it isn't in the future, then what we have is antisocial studies. And that's exactly what we have. We teach antisocial studies in the public, private, and parochial schools in this country because we teach the same old line. The white males did all the important things, and women are only there to furnish more white males, and people of color are there because we are going to be kind to them while we take over their land and kill their children. I don't think that it would be a good idea. I don't think it would be a bad idea to start telling the truth. Now, curriculum respecting truth is not an attempt to make white children feel guilty. It's a determination to teach the truth now so that we don't perpetuate the kinds of things that we've done in the past. We've got to teach the truth about the past in the present so that our future will be better. If we don't start teaching the truth, we're going to have a worse future than we have present. Because make no mistake about this, within about 28 years now, melanemic people will be a numerical minority in the United States of America. And the fear of that happening is one of the reasons for groups like QAnon, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, that whole bunch are scared to death that when people of color get power and get a numerical majority, they're going to want to treat us the way we have treated them. One of our major fears is, that this just kills me, that people who are people of color, those who are people of color, melanaceous and melanotic, believe that we mean it when we say the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Do you really think that we melanemic people treat others the way we melanemic people want to be treated? Well, if you do think we do, then when people of color get in the numerical majority and have the power to treat us, do you really want to be treated the way we have treated them? Of course you don't. So they immediately have to think, well, if you believe in the golden rule, then we'll treat you the way you have treated us. What we need to do is teach the platinum rule. And the platinum rule says, do unto others as others would have you do unto them. I don't have the right to decide how you want to be treated. I can't treat you the way I want to be treated. I have to treat you the way you want to be treated. And I don't have to walk up to you and say, how do you want to be treated, young man? And I don't, and nobody else has the right to walk up to the nearest person of color and say, how do you blacks want to be treated? You want to know how other people want to be treated? Read a good book. There are lots of them out there. Go to my website, download the printed learning materials. And after you go through the typical statements and the clarification of the typical statements, then you go to the commitments to combat racism. Pick out one of those that you've never done. Circle it. Put the date beside it and do it for a month. At the end of the month, take that paper out, write down what you wrote by doing that, and then circle another one and do it. And while you're doing that, get the bibliography and read every book on the title of every book. But don't just read the titles, read the books listed on the bibliography. If you don't ever read any other book, at least read The Myth of Race if you haven't read it. But first read Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization. You can't appreciate what we haven't been until you appreciate what they have.
And we're going to include the links to your website and the resources that you list there when we send out the email following in a few days with the video of this. So people can get that there as well. So we're going to help with that. We'll have one last question. And you sort of, I know you sort of touched on this a little bit, but I want to give you a chance to respond to it a little bit more. Is that, would you agree that if all of us were the same skin color, prejudiced people would still find another reason to discriminate?
Absolutely. White women are prejudicial toward white men. You know that, and I know that. Men have prejudices where women are concerned. Right-handed people are prejudiced where left-handed people are concerned. We would find a way. We would find a way to complain about your hair. Your hair is dark. Mine used to be that color. Now you can look at me and realize that I ain't ever going to know what you know, and you're never going to know what I know. But I don't have to prejudge you on that basis. I can help you to learn, and you can help me. And the first thing you have to learn about people like me is just slow down so that you walk at my pace, okay? It's all right. We will always find something to criticize in other human beings until they're exactly like us. And then when they're exactly like us, we'll say, you're copying me. You want to be just like me. We will find a way. And I'm sorry, but religion has been and is being used to divide people. It was originally supposed to unite people. But because we think in different ways, it is now being used specifically in this country to divide people. And we have to refuse to allow that to happen. We have to refuse to allow that to happen. It could be, I'll tell you how to stop it from happening. Read this book. It is just, and there's another book you need to read, and I can't remember the author's name. Some Things That Need to Be Said. I can't remember the author's name. I just read it recently. And there's a chapter in that where he's talking about missing his father. And he says, finally, I realize that I will miss my father until I take my last breath. And I've been missing my husband for 8 years. And I read that and I thought, okay, it's okay for me to miss my husband then. I'll be missing my husband until I take my last breath. All right. It's all right. I don't have to get over it. Do yourselves a favor and never say to a person who has lost someone, just get over it until it happens to you. And then you'll never say that again. Any other questions? Did I answer your question?
I you did. And we're about time, so I want to respect your time and everyone else on the webinar. And I just want to, I said thank you to Jane at the beginning. She goes, don't thank me until you hear what I have to say, because you may not like it. And I also told Jane that I have seen her, you know, I think like many of us, we've seen videos of her many times. And I said, and I appreciate that she made me feel uncomfortable, because that's what I needed to feel. And I needed to work through that to figure out why that is. So thank you for all the work that you have done. And I think, and making people think, and especially us people.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
I won't believe that you mean it until you put this on your website, odtmaps.com. Capital O, capital D, capital T, maps.com. And you can email them and they will send you maps. Everybody needs to get this map in every classroom, in every school in the United States of America. It's absolutely essential that we dump the Mercator map and that we put in a map that is closer to the truth. All right?
Will do.
All right. I'll expect to get questions about that.
Well, thank you, Jane, so much. I really, really, really appreciate you taking time out today to be with us. And thank you for everyone who participated today as well.
Well, thank you for asking me. You have no idea how very complimentary it is when people your age ask people like me to say anything.
We all have things to teach each other if we listen.
Well, not all. Most of us.
That's fair.
Be careful about that. Let's be fair. All right. Thank you very much. I'll see you again sometime, okay?
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye now.